Montalez-vous, and that is as far as my French goes, ladies and gentlemen, but it is ARC weekend. It's the big one. It's the biggest race on the European flat calendar. The Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe at Longchamp on Sunday. And joining myself, David Jennings, to preview the action all weekend, which includes a cracking card at Newmarket on Saturday, is the man that divides opinion more than anybody else in the racing post. It is the one, the only, Mr. James Stevens. How are you?
Very good, thanks, DJ. But last time I was on you called me the hardest working person at the Racing Post, so I've obviously downgraded in your opinion, but we'll have to let that one go.
Yeah, you've slackened off a bit, to be honest, yeah. Yeah, you're going to have to get back on pedal to the metal there, James. And also joining James Stevens, of course, that intro was made for Mr. Graham Rodway, my good old buddy, old pal. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks, DJ. Yeah, great to be on. What a weekend we've got. We love it, don't we? ARC weekend, fantastic.
And Rodders, you mustn't have got the memo, because as of the last couple of weeks, we've actually been in vision for these postcasts. So you're in vision at the moment, and I am seeing a pretty healthy beard being established there.
Yeah, I came in the other day to the office and I had it all shaved off, and everyone said, well, where's the beard gone? Where's the beard gone, G-Rod? So I felt like I should grow it back, and I'm quite a way into it now. I don't know whether I can get it to like the real long length, you know, like a Santa Claus one. I'd really like one of those, but I don't think I'll be able to get that far. Probably be too itchy, you know.
Yeah, well, what punters want to know is, are you going to be giving them presents by finding loads of winners? Oh my God, that's awful. I'm just puking into my mouth now. And we kick off at Newmarket on Saturday with the Judmont Royal Lodge Stakes. It's a Group 2 and it's a race Aidan O'Brien has farmed over the years. He's won it 7 times and he's got the favourite this time around as well, in the shape of Capulet, who was second to Diego Velazquez in the Champions Juvenile Stakes at Leopardstown at the Irish Champions Festival. It's currently your 15-8 favourite. Ablan, who is unbeaten in 2 starts for Godolphin, and Charlie Appleby with James Doyle aboard, is 5-1, 11-2 Ghost Rider for Clive Cox and Richard Kingscote, and it is 13-2 Bar. Graham Rodway, a 15-8 favourite on the opening race of a cracking card at Newmarket on ARC weekend. Should we be getting stuck into Capulet?
No, awful price, isn't he, DJ? Capulet here, I thought. Unless, of course, Diego Velazquez turns out to be something special. But it's a good race, isn't it? There's some really smart juveniles in it. Ablan's looked really good over in Britain a couple of starts. But the one I really, really am quite confident will run well is Ghost Rider for Clive Cox. This horse produced a really good time last time at Ascot, DJ. He was carrying £13 more. Dan Quinault, who won the big handicap on the day, and was only 0.38 seconds slower than him. That's pretty good when you consider how good Quinault is and how young Ghost Rider is, of course. You know, for a two-year-old to be getting that close to him was a very, very smart performance. I think Robbie Wilder's put him up earlier in the week in one of his anti-post columns. It's been smashed up. He's come down in price 10 to 1 into 5 to 1. It wouldn't surprise me if he was challenging for favouritism, DJ. I think he's going to be very, very, very hard to beat, Ghost Rider.
Oh, you got stuck into that one, Rodders. So you think he could be challenging for favouritism? He's 5 to 1 at the moment, and Capulet is 15 to 8. You think they're going to get much closer together in the market?
I think they will do, yeah. Once all those speed figures boys get stuck into them, you know what it's like, DJ, these big speed figure horses. Once one person puts them up, they all put them up, don't they? So if this horse gets well tipped up on Friday night, I mean, there's a really good chance that he's going to shorten significantly, Ghost Rider.
Okie doke. So it's a confident vote for Ghost Rider for Graham Rodway. James Stevens, I'm in the opposite camp to Rodders. I think Capulet is a very talented juvenile. And I would just advise Racing Post readers, go on to the Members Club, watch Capulet's last race against Diego Velazquez, and keep watching for as long as you can, because I thought the most informative piece of information you could gather from that was it took Shamey Heffernan an age to pull up Capulet. He could not pull him up. He was down the back straight by the time he finally brought him to a standstill. That horse had loads of running left in him. Diego Velazquez obviously is a decent horse. I was a bit disappointed in Diego Velazquez at Leopardstown, even though he won. But with the benefit of hindsight, I have a feeling Capulet is an exceptional two-year-old. He's fourth favourite for the Derby. I think he could be second or third favourite after this. Discuss.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there, DJ. This isn't a race I really have a particularly strong opinion of, because it's that sort of race where it's open to any sort of amount of improvement for pretty much most of them. Agree with everything you said about Capule. Really good performance, very professional. And this is a tried and tested route for Aidan O'Brien. He likes to bring a good two-year-old over and win this race in years gone by. The other thing about Capule, which is quite interesting, he's also the youngest in the field. He was April, he's an April foal, so it may be that his career is going to continue to develop as he gets older. But Ghost Rider was impressive at Ascot. I'd give him a chance and he'd probably be a second pick. But for me, Capule is the horse that looks professional, looks like he's improving. And it's interesting, 21-day gap isn't the longest time. It could be that this horse is just going to continue to improve. And it'd be interesting to see how he's campaigned for the last stage of the season. If he was to run well, whether he might end up in France or possibly even America. But he's the one to beat for me.
Right, a pint or a cup of coffee, okay? Whichever your preference is, okay? If either one of you can mention the name without looking at the Racing Post website, so look straight into your camera, do not look down at your laptop, okay? Can either one of you name me any one of Aidan O'Brien's 7 winners of the Royal Lodge? Just one, I just want one of the 7. Can either of you name one of the 7? Time up. I'm going to name you out the 7, right? Royal Kingdom, Mutiny on the Bounty, Admiral of the Fleet, Joshua Tree, Daddy Longlegs, Mohawk, and Royal Dornock. Okay, so my point here is not to make fools out of you guys, which I've obviously done, but my point was not to do that. It was that Aidan O'Brien's winners of the Royal Lodge actually haven't gone on to achieve that much, which is a little bit worrying, but I think Capule might just be a little bit better than those. So there you go. That was Aidan O'Brien's record in the Royal Lodge. He's won it 7 times. He's chasing number 8. Myself and James Stevens thinks he's going to do the business with Capule, but Rodders, he's out on his own, not for the first time, with Ghost Rider for Clive Cox and Richard Kingscote. That is your opening race on a super Saturday at Newmarket. Moving on to the 2:25 is the first Group 1 of the day. It's the Judmont Cheveley Park Stakes, and the Rocket that is Relief Rally is currently a best price 2-1 favourite. Jasna's Secret for France is 5-1, Soprano 6-1, Porta Fortuna, your Royal Ascot winner, 17-2, 11-1, Sacred Angel, Cherry Blossom is out again after finishing second to One Luck at the Curragh on Saturday, is 12-1 shot, and it's 14-1 bar. Let's open the baton here, James. Does Relief Rally win?
I'm taking Relief Rally on. I like Jasna's Secret here. My French form knowledge isn't particularly good, but from a visual perspective, the way the horse won last time out at Deauville in what looked to be a pretty hot sales race, and I've gone through the form and they looked like they were the right horses in the race, so to speak. And the good horses that she made look very, very average. The way she travelled through the race made me, well, it was obviously impressive, but it struck me as a horse that probably could be better in a better race, just the way she travels through the race. And I think she's going to be a proper sprinter. You know, she looks to be on the up. There's a few doubts about a few of those in behind and some of the lesser ones in the market. You can make a case for quite a few of them, but I like to find in this sort of race at this sort of time of year of two-year-olds, the one that is going to take that major step forward. And she strikes me as the one who probably could do that. She's got to be Relief Rally. You know, the form is there and it's a high bar, and Relief Rally, you know, it deserves to be favourite. But Jasna's Secret looks a serious type already, and one that's only going to continue to improve. So, yeah, price looks pretty decent as well, I think.
OK, so we've got one vote for Jasna's Secret. So I'm intrigued to see what Rodders is going to tip here, because Jasna's Secret was the one I could not understand the price of, because Jasna's Secret last time at Deauville won that little conditions race. The second, Zorkin, was hammered next time when favourite against Tiger Bell. And the third, Maymay, ran a stinker next time as well. So the second and third from that race at Deauville, visually she was seriously impressive. But I just have a feeling it was an absolutely terrible race. And I can't see why Jasna's Secret is the price she is, because I think the Relief Rally is in a different league to her. Rodders, you have the casting vote. I'm with Relief Rally. James Stevens is with Jasna's Secret. Where are you going?
Well, I hate to have to agree with you, DJ, but I really do like Relief Rally. I think she'd be very, very difficult to be. One of your favourite horses, isn't it, DJ?
Oh, she's training. A dinger. She is a dinger, yeah.
Yeah, well, she's proper, isn't she? Yeah, proper. She's tough, genuine. She goes on any ground. She stays well. She's got loads of speed. Oh, she's just a proper, proper two-year-old. And if she doesn't win this, I'll be very, very surprised. I think she'll be far too good for them. Although I must admit, I don't know that much about James's selection, Jasna's Secret. But one thing I do know, DJ, is that Relief Rally is proper.
Yeah, she just has it all. She's like Margot Robbie, isn't she? She just, you're looking for flaws, and you're just like, there are no. She's just flawless, Relief Rally. And I know she was beaten. Of course she was in the Queen Mary. But a stride before the line and a stride after the line, she was in front. That was just, unfortunately, Crimson Advocate just got the nod down at the right time. But I think Relief Rally has been the outstanding juvenile filly this season. I'm hoping she can get her Group 1 here. So myself and Rodders, it's a collector's item. We agree with Relief Rally, and it's Jasna's Secret for James Stevens in the Sheevely Park. The next Group 1 is at 3 o'clock at Newmarket. It is the Judmont Middle Park Stakes. It's a Group 1. Aidan O'Brien has won this 7 times as well, chasing his 8th victory in the race. And he has got the favourite at the moment in the shape of River Tiber, who was 3rd to Van Dijk in the pre-morning, but had a troubled preparation for that Group 1 in France. River Tiber is favourite at 2-1. Van Dijk is 9-4 second favourite. 3-3 for Simon and Ed Crisford. Jazur for Clive Cox is 9-1. Also 9-1 is Task Force, also unbeaten. Lake Forest, a big price to some, is 12-1. Let's give you a full show. Starlust is currently 18-1, 20-1 elite status. Give me the Beat Boys, who apparently has been working much better in the last couple of weeks than was the case after Ascot. So give me the Beat Boys at 40-1. He mightn't win, but I guarantee you he'll run far better than his odds suggest. And don't be surprised if that 40-1 is a distant memory come 3 o'clock on Saturday, because I have a feeling he'll go off much shorter than that. And Sketch is your outsider of the field at 50-1. Rodders, where do you stand here? It's the big rematch between River Tiber and Van Dijk. Whose side are you on?
I'm with Van Dijk, DJ. River Tiber had a interrupted prep, didn't he, like you said, going in to the Deauville race. But Van Dijk did beat him quite handsomely on the day. I thought he was well on top at the finish. I think the second Ramatuelle is really, really good. So I think that form is the line to be on. And I'll be surprised if River Tiber can reverse the form with Van Dijk. Of course, I suppose it depends on the ground, you could say, because all of Van Dijk's best form is on soft ground. And we know that River Tiber goes on quick ground. I'm not far from Newmarket. There's not a lot of rain around, despite the storms that have been going on up north. It is very dry up in Newmarket. I'm expecting the ground will be on the far side of good. But Sir Van Dijk didn't look slow to me at Deauville, and I think that he'll get away with it, even if the ground is far. So I'm going to go with Van Dijk, DJ.
Beautiful. It's 4 out of 4 for Van Dijk for Graham Rodway in the Middle Park. James, what do you like in the Middle Park?
Yeah, we're going to take him on with River Tiber. I know you mentioned the prep issues that he had before going into that race, and how much of that made an impact, I'm not sure. But I think this horse just really wants better ground, and I think that's really sort of the, I think that might end up being the key to this horse, is a 6 furlongs on good or even quicker ground. And Van Dijk's interesting. I mean, obviously he won very, very impressively last time, and you know, there's no doubt that that form looks to be pretty strong, and probably some of the hottest two-year-old form over this sort of distance. There's nothing to argue against that. But with River Tiber, I just wonder whether a bit of a break, bit of time off, but this ground could be really the finding of Van Dijk. Because to me, he looks like a horse he's only going to progress over further, and I just wonder whether a fast run 6 furlongs on good firm ground, they're calling it, but it may be a fraction slower come Saturday, might just find him out a little bit. So he may be more of a stare of the future. He may be sort of 7 up to a mile. So I think River Tiber is going to be a proper sprinter, and I think he'll bounce back on Saturday. I think he's a very good horse, and I love the way he won the Coventry earlier in the season. He looked proper that day.
Yeah, and I'm with you, James. I love the way he finished out the morning. For all that, he had a pretty stumbling sort of preparation, given he missed a week of work. I thought the way he finished out his race, he made up a lot of ground, did a fast sectional for the final furlong there in the pre-morning. I think he is the one to beat in the Middle Park, and I think he will win. It's River Tiber for myself and James, and it's Van Dijk for Rodders, the big handicap of the day and one of the big handicaps of the year. It is the Bet365 Cambridgeshire. It's worth £103,080 to the winner, and we have our red-hot favourite. Is this the handicap good thing of the day? It's Greek Order for Harry and Roger Charlton. at 4-1 for Oisin Murphy. Dual Identity is 12-1, 12-1 Oviedo. It is 14-1 Astro King. Liberty Lane is 16-1, Crackshot 18-1, 20-1 Merlin the Wizard, 20-1 Saga, 25-1 Bard. James Stevens, kick us off with your Cambridgeshire tip.
Yeah, a huge flat handicap makes me want the Persian War to come even sooner, but there we go. The one I've landed on is Oviedo for Ed Bethel, a horse that I like in these races, horses that travel strongly. I think that's the key to the winning the Cambridge, horse that travels strongly, can move into the race, and is also a little bit untested in this sort of grade. And this horse has been running very, very well throughout the season. He was second at York last time behind Astro King, in a race that was running quite a quick time, by the looks of it. And he just possibly stretched. I think one mile two possibly is his absolute maximum. And what he could need, I'm hoping, is a really strong run, mile one, that sort of distance, a real pace to aim at. He can travel through the race and just kick on. If you go back through his two-year-old form, he ran a really good run in the Aiken by Chaldean. There's bits of his form that stand out really, really well. He went at Redcar early in the season on quickish ground, looked really good that day. A lot of his form reads very well, and I just think he's made for a race like this. And he's only had 9 runs, so he could have a bit more to offer. Greek Order, yeah, obviously going to be the big handicap thing of the day. I thought he won really well at Newbury last time, but I didn't think that was much of a race to be screaming Cambridgeshire winner for me. So definitely keen to take him on. And yeah, outside of there, it looks open. The only other one I could give to at a price was one down the bottom of the weights. Crackshot, Fred Walker, lightly raced type, won pretty well last time. Looks like he's improving. George Adobe takes off an extra £3. So off the bottom of the weights, could run well. But yeah, the Oviedo is the one for me.
Well, James, I'm going to have to pick you up on this now. Surely it's Oviedo. Surely.
Oviedo.
Yeah. Yeah, well, let's go with Oviedo. But you did make a cracking case for Oviedo. Now, Rodgers, right? This is how you make a living, okay? Solving these sort of puzzles is what makes Graham Rodway be on this screen here. That one there, yeah, that's why you're here. It's just solving riddles like this. This favourite's a good thing, isn't he?
Yeah, this is why they don't pay me the big bucks, to solve big handicaps like this. And this favourite, I do not fancy at all, DJ, now.
Oh, tell me why. Right now, Rodgers, the stage is yours, okay? Because I think this is an absolute group horse, absolutely 100%, at least 105 horse running off 95. Okay, so I think personally he's got £10 in hand. I want you to tell me why Greek Order will not win.
Well, he of course may well win, mightn't he, DJ? But he's a ridiculous price, is he not, at 4-1? He was good at Newbury, but I suppose I've got something against him, because when he was beaten at 4-6 at Salisbury earlier in the season, I thought there was no way he could possibly lose that day, and I thought he was very, very disappointing. Now, of course, it was over 7 furlongs. And
yeah, do you know what was second that day?
No, what was second?
The second horse that day was a horse called Balance Play.
Balance Play, who
has won 3 since and is now rated 101.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I'll give you that. But yeah, I was still disappointed with the way that he performed that. They didn't pick up in the way that I hoped he would, obviously having backed him at a very short price. Yeah, he's won twice since, but he's a ridiculous price, DJ. Come on. I mean, this is why you're paid the big bucks. It's because you solve problems like this with big price winners. You don't come up with Greek Order. You've got to have something better than that, surely.
Well, I think personally, when you start off a handicap like the Cambridgeshire, the first thing you need to say is, you see 4-1, 9-2, 5-1, as it was early in the week, Greek Order. First thing you say is, okay, we're definitely taking on this horse. Has to take on Greek Order, because this is a ridiculous price. It's one of the most competitive handicaps of the year. And then you start delving into his form, delving into his performances, delving into his pedigree, delving into the campaign that he's had. And I just go through this field and I say to myself, if there is a horse that could absolutely bolt up here, he's the only one that can do it. The draw, okay, so he's been drawn in stall 25. The winner last year, Majestic, was in 26. Bedouin Story was 21. Majestic Dawn was 25. Lord North was 29. Wizahicken was 21. Dolphin Vista was 29. Spark Plug was 28. Are you spotting a theme here, Rodgers? You have to be drawn 20 or higher. He is drawn in 25. He looks to me like a horse who could be contesting Group 1s next season. So I think Greek Order at 4-1 is not the worst price I've ever seen.
I can't be having any of those odds, DJ. But
okay, what do you like?
To be fair, though, I was watching a bit of the race in there today at Newmarket, and they were coming up the standside rail again. So, yeah, maybe you do want to be high. Anyway, the one that there's two I like, obviously, at prices, as you say. I mean, as I've already said, I'm not going to be backing a Greek order like you at 4-1. I mean, I'm looking for a bit more value than that in a big handicap like this. One of them is Liberty Lane, who's drawn in stall 22 for Carl Burke. But Burke's absolutely flying, isn't he, this season? And he's had some really good winners. Royal Ryan, really good when he won the Doonside Cup last week. But yeah, he ran this Liberty Lane in the Dante earlier in the year, so he must have thought that it was pretty good. Last time won well at Doncaster, came right back to form, and it appears to handle any type of ground, I'd say. I think that there's a couple of disappointing runs in there on quick, but I don't think he'll have a problem with it. I mean, his size progeny, Teofilo, usually go through anything, so I expect that Liberty Lane will run well. And one at a massive price that caught my eye is Killy Beggs Warrior, trained by Johnston, Charlie Johnston. This has got some really good form for also who's like 40-odd to 1. Yeah, he's drawn on the other side in stall 12. But he finished fourth in a red-hot handicap last time out at the Curragh, and he previously finished fourth in another hot handicap at York. He won a heritage handicap on the July course earlier in the season, so we know he goes at Newmarket. And I just thought he was at a massive price at 40-odd to 1, Killy Beggs Warrior. So they're my two against the field, DJ, Liberty Lane and Killy Beggs Warrior.
Beautiful, Rodders. Two big price fancies for Graham Rodway in the Cambridgeshire. I think he's wrong because I think Greek Order is going to win. But there you go. That was our four races that we're previewing on the Newmarket card on Saturday. But don't go anywhere because we'll be back after this quick ad break where we'll be previewing the two Group 1s at Longchamp on Saturday.
Do you want over £500 in free bets? Well, the best free bet offers are now all in one place. Head to racingpost.com/freebets where you can find all the offers from your favourite bookmakers. Click the link in the description to find out more.
Yes, welcome back to the Racing Postcast in association with the Racing Post Members Club with myself, David Jennings, James Stevens and Graham Rodway, where we're going to be tackling the two Group 1s at Longchamp on Saturday on the eve of the Arc. And the first of those is at 1:33. It was the scene for the rout from Kyprios last season, who won by 20 lengths. He's not here this year, though. Emily Dickinson is for Aidan O'Brien and Frankie Dettori, no less, with Ryan Moore staying on home soil for River Tiber. It's Frankie who comes in for the ride on Emily Dickinson. But your favourite in the Prix de Cadran is Trushan, an interesting race with Run for Oscar wearing first-time blinkers for Charles Burns, and the ARC big race jockey on Ace Impact, Christian DeMuro. And we've also got Scazzino, Moonwolf and Vert Libert in there as well. So it looks like a match to me, Rodders, between Emily Dickinson and Trushan. What do you think?
I don't think it is a match at all. I don't like Emily Dickinson that much. She disappoints me every time she runs. I always think she's going to put in a big performance and then she doesn't. She obviously likes soft ground, which she's going to get. And you would say, DJ, and I know no doubt you're going to say this, they've probably thought this was her race all year, haven't they? Because she needs soft ground. But Trushan is another horse who I don't like anymore. Used to love him, but he's gone off the boil, hasn't he? He's totally lost his form. Yes, he came back last time out Doncaster, but it was the weirdest race I've ever seen. He pulled like an absolute express train. Holly couldn't hold him. She had to let him go, and then they didn't catch him. I just don't think that he showed that he was back to his best that day. I rated that race for Racing Post ratings. I gave him 115, which is £11 shy of his very best form, and only on a par with his best run earlier in the year, which was when he was second to Rudzinski at Nottingham. So I think if he was coming
here... Yeah, that was controversial, Rodders.
What?
Given
it
115.
Yeah, well, you'd have gone higher, would you?
I would have gone a little bit higher, yeah. I thought it was a better performance than the performance against Rudzinski, but you're the expert now, not me.
I am the expert, exactly. Well said. I thought that Moon Wolf might run well for S. Wattel and Alexis Puchin. I have no idea who they are. But I did watch a couple of this.
Zara, you wouldn't think any mother would christen their son S, would you?
I think it's Sebastian or something like that, isn't it? I don't know. Should we guess? That's probably Sebastian. But I've watched a couple of Sources races, and certainly last time out at Longchamp at the track.
Stefan.
My apologies to Stefan. I watched his run last time at Longchamp, and it was over 1 mile, 7.5 furlongs. And I thought that he stayed on really strongly, shaping like he might improve for a step up in trip. He's totally unexposed. We've got 2 mile, 4 furlongs here. I just think that there could be an upset because I don't like either of the first two in the market, Emily Dickinson or Trushan. This could be the day when we finally see the end of Trushan. What do you think?
I think you're being a bit harsh. I thought Trushan did very well to win at Doncaster, and I hope he's back. I think Emily Dickinson, though, is going to be hard to beat on her beloved ground. And I think this is her time of year as well. I think Emily Dickinson, for me, in the Cadran. But I do think it's between the two. I don't know much about Moonwolf. I didn't even know the trainer's name. I had to check it up. But best of luck with Moonwolf, Rodders. James Stevens, what do you like in the Cadran?
Yeah, it's Emily Dickinson for me as well. Obviously, I'm not going to give the same sort of heartfelt fallout with Trushan as Rodders there, but he's probably at the end of his career, and you know, I think he ran well at Doncaster, but I don't think he's the force that he once was. You know, it used to be the case wherever he got soft ground, we felt he was unbeatable. And I think if Trushan can come out and win this after a 15-day break, then full credit to him, because that's an extraordinary achievement. But looking at the way he ran and the form he's showing, I think it's a big ask, first and foremost, to do it after that gap. And also, I think that Emily Dickinson could well be that horse to improve past him. She needs soft ground, doesn't she? I think it's just as simple as that. She just needs soft ground. She ran okay in the Ascot Gold Cup, but I think it's really hard to judge her on that run because, again, I think just ground is so crucial to her. I think she'll stay. I think this race is made for her. She's had a nice gap for it. She'll be fired up for it. And with Frankie on board as well for a certain AP O'Brien. I'm not sure if you know who he is, DJ.
Yeah, that's Aiden O'Brien, yeah, with an A.
DJ, send him over hurdles. Send Trushan over hurdles. Why not? We need something that can go and give Constitution Hill, right? Get him over a hurdle.
Ah, stop. No, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work. But just because he's good on the flat doesn't mean he's going to be an exceptional hurdler. We've seen that over and over. Who was the last horse like that you can remember that really was the exceptional flat horse that went on to be an exceptional hurdler? Probably Alderbrook, was it?
Probably. I remember Far Cry being a really high class flat horse, staying flat horse, and he couldn't jump a hurdle to save his life, really. But he was still very high class because he was just so good on the flat. Anything to give Constitution Hill a race would be good, wouldn't it, DJ?
It would be good, and it would be intriguing to see what Trushan could do over hurdles, I have to say. But interesting, Frankie Dettori riding for Aidan O'Brien. He hasn't ridden a winner in Ireland or Britain since the Ebor, which is hard to believe. Isn't it absurd? Was his last winner in Ireland or Britain? He has, of course, ridden a winner in Sweden in Bro Park. He won the Lister race there on Taketo, I think it was. But he hasn't ridden a winner since the Ebor in Ireland or England. Isn't that unbelievable? And he was beaten on a few short prices at the Curragh last Saturday. So I just thought that was an interesting stat. But that is your 133. It is the Prix de Cadran. Moving on to the three. It's like somebody knew I was presenting the podcast today and they said to themselves, you know what we're going to do with the race at Longchamp? We're going to put all those numbers that you can't say and we're going to have those at the time. So the 333. 333 at Longchamp is the Quatar Prix de Royal-O, the 333. And I have no idea what's going to be favoured because we have no market at the moment. But there is a lot of Irish and English involvement here because we've got right in the bottom Library for Aidan O'Brien and Sean Levy. We've got Thunder Roll for Joseph O'Brien and Dylan Brown McMonagall. We've got Shamida, who looks to be laid out for this race, for Dermot Weld and Chris Hayes. We have got Sea Silk Road for William Haggis and Adrienne Lemaitre. We have also got Mimikyu for John and Thady Gosden and the aforementioned Frankie Dettori. And we have got Poptronic for Carl Burke and Sam James. Rodders, are any of them going to win this race? Because I have no idea what's going to win this.
Yeah, I really fancy one.
Beautiful.
Sea Silk Road. Sea Silk Road. Surely, DJ, this is Sea Silk Road's bag, isn't it? I mean, she absolutely is just slow, isn't she? She is slow.
Good start for others, yeah. That's, very that's as good slow. A reason as any to back one.
She stays forever, but she just doesn't have the pace to cope with the absolute top-class Group 1 performers. I mean, I backed her not last time, at York when she finished behind Warm Heart. And she ran a perfectly good race, but she's just not quick enough to deal with Group 1 horses over a mile and a half. She then came out and ran here, didn't she, again, behind Warm Heart, staying on at the finish. Finally, she gets a run over a mile and six furlongs on testing ground. I mean, she is going to love this, you know, because she's so slow. She just stays forever. She'll be just plodding around. And then before, you know, once they come to that little extra bit at the end, she sometimes a long shot, you think, oh, the race is over. And then suddenly they go on for another furlong, don't they? When they're going on for another furlong, you watch Sea Silk Road will be plodding on down the outside. Mile and six furlongs, by See the Stars, real stamina influence. The mare is a German mare who won on soft and heavy ground. It's a real testing ground pedigree. She will stay all day. This race is made for her. Sea Silk Road.
You have made a very compelling case there, Gerard. And I think the stable won it last year with Cielo Rosa as well. Same colours, out of Sea the Stars as well, Cielo Rosa. So Sea Silk Road, a ringing endorsement there from Rodders. Follow that, James Stevens.
Yeah, wow, some statement there. Yeah, this was a bit of a flashback for me in my career. One of my jobs for the Rating Post was sort of did a spotlight comments, and I used to do it so early there was no prices, so I sort of would have to put it all together and never get the price and see the prices and gone, oh God, I've gone wrong here. What's happened? But sometimes it would be good.
You were a spotlight writer, were you?
Many moons ago, yeah, many moons ago. But the one that I looked at and thought, well, I wonder if this is going to go off a bit big. And Ottery for Andre Farb, who was really promising third last time at Deauville behind Mellow, who's meant to go off as favourite. Now, it was just a huge classic French race where this horse had all dressed up, ready to go, but just could not find the gaps. Was sent off favourite. Looked, if you watch the replay back, this horse was massively unlucky, only beaten a length. Looked like she would have won really, really well. And she's also one that really is, she's got a German dam as well. Looks made to love this sort of ground. And is quite lightly raced, so could well be the improver in the field. So, yeah, Ottery was about 15-2 with a one firm that's priced this race up. And definitely would have a chance, I'd say, at a big price.
Okay, have you found prices, have you? You've found prices?
One firm, yeah.
Okay, go. Give us a show. In your best accent that could be a bookmaker, give us a show, please, James.
We've got Mellow at centre two, 5-1, Shamida, Sea Silk Road, the shout for Graham Rodway at 13-2, Ottery, my shout, 15-2, Sumo Sam, 8, Bai Kara, 9, and 10 bar.
Happy with that, G-Rod, 13-2?
Very happy with that, DJ. I thought she'd be favourite here. She might be. She still might be, you know.
Get stuck in, G-Rod. 13-2, Sea Silk Road for G-Rod in the 3:33 at Longchamp on Saturday. Those are the two races we're going to preview at Longchamp on Saturday. But you've got to come back because the big one on Sunday, it is the Qatar Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe. And we're going to be telling you what's going to win it after this quick ad break.
Are you ready to take your passion for horse racing to the next level? With Racing Post Members Club, you gain exclusive access to the best racing insights, analysis, and tools. Immerse yourself in award-winning content, from interviews with the sport's biggest stars to race previews and behind-the-scenes features. Get the inside track with early access to the Racing Post digital newspaper from 9 p.m. in the evening and daily selections from our expert tipsters. Racing Post Members Club is your ultimate ticket to the thrilling world of racing. Subscribe today and pay just £9.99 per month for the first 2 months with the code SUMMER. See the link in the video description for more information. Terms apply.
Yes, welcome back to the Racing Postcast. in association with the Racing Post Members Club with David Jennings, Graham Rodway and James Stevens. And you have joined us at the perfect time because we're just about to preview the 3:05 at Longchamp on Sunday. It is the biggest couple of minutes of the entire flat season. Yes, it is the Qatar Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe. It's going to be an absolute belter. And at the moment, the best prices available in the industry are these. Your favourite, of course, is Ace Impact for Christian DeMuro and Jean-Claude Rouget. Currently 3-1, very tight at the top of the market. At 6-1, your St. Ledger winner, Continuous, who was supplemented for €120,000 on Wednesday. Hookham, King George winner, 6-1. Westover, King George runner-up, 7-1. Feed the Flame is 10-1. Baybridge, 14-1. Fantastic Moon, also supplemented at a cost of $120,000, is 14-1. True Seven Seas for Japan is 16-1. Free Win, Frankie Dettori's final arc mount is 20-1. Place de Carousel for Andre Fab is 25-1. Sim Camille, who I know Tom Siegel had a sneaky suspicion for, but drawn out in the car park, installed 15, is 25-1. 40-1 in Esto, who seems to have lost his way. Mr. Hollywood is 50-1. Sisfrahan is 100-1. And Hoya Zark makes up the market at 150-1. Graham Rodway, it is a glorious race every year, but it's made all the more gloriouser if you can find a winner. What wins the 2023 Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe?
I like that word, DJ. Gloriouser.
I'm not sure if it actually is.
Oh, great race, isn't it? Great race every year. And another superb race we got this year, haven't we? I mean, Ace Impact looked brilliant, didn't he, when he won the Prix du Jockey Club. The time was very good. And he comes in as the right favourite, I think. I think Continuous is far too short. I don't think that he's going to be anywhere near good enough to win this race. He needs to improve significantly. The best race of the season so far, without a doubt, was the King George at Ascot, wasn't it? I remember going into that race, I thought, this is a King George for the ages. You know, this was a great race, a bunch of really top-class horses. And I was absolutely amazed that two horses were able to separate themselves from the rest of the field in the way that Hookham and Westover did. And there was really nothing between them at the line, DJ. And I think Westover can reverse the places here with Hookham.
You do?
Yeah, I do. Hookham is a very, very smart horse, but he runs Ascot very, very well. I think he's won three of his four starts there and finished third in the other one. I've always felt that Westover would be suited by a big, long, straight, like Longchamps. He was very, very good, wasn't he, when he won at the Curragh, the Irish Derby, similarly sort of long galloping track. I really fancied him last year for this race, just thought he was made for an arc. But the ground came up absolutely shocking, didn't it? And in the end, he got stuck in the mud. But conditions are going to be much more in his favour this time, DJ Westover. He's drawn in stall one, which I think is preferable to being right out wide. Although in an ideal world, he'd probably prefer to be two or three to his left, because you can always obviously get right boxed in if they come back across you. But nevertheless, I don't think it's a terrible draw in one. And if he gets the run of things, I think he's the one to beat Westover for me, DJ. But I know you like something else, don't you?
I do, yeah. Just before, I'm gonna pick you up on something, and so you're gonna have to have your debating boots on, Rodders. But just for listeners and viewers now of the Racing Postcast, just to go through the draw: Alpinisto was in 6, Sotsas in 2020 was in 4, Walgeist in 3 in 2019, Enable in 6 in 2018, Enable in 2 in 2017. So in the last 6 years, the only horse for the double figure draw was the shock winner Torquato Tasso for Germany, who beat Ternawa. So that's the only double figure draw that's won in the last 6 years. So there you go. I just want to ask you one thing, which I just have to pick you up on it, G-Rod. I'm sorry now. But the reason you think Westover will reverse the form with Hookham is that you think Hookham is more of an Ascot horse. Am I right to paraphrase?
I think so, yeah. I think that he's suited by tracks that put a bit of emphasis on speed. Personally, to me, he looks like he's got a really smart turn of foot. And I don't think that that Longchamp does put an emphasis on speed. I think it's a stamina kind of track. Okay, what do you think?
What about Sandown? What would Sandown be in your opinion then?
Sandown's a galloping track, but that was a mile and a quarter, wasn't it? Sandown. You know, so it wasn't a mile and a half race, was it?
And what about Epsom?
Epsom's is a speed track, isn't it? Would you say?
Okay, yeah.
No, downhill all the way in the straight, isn't it?
Okay, no. I just wanted to verify your points. Okay, that's fine. I just thought it was interesting that you thought.
You're talking nonsense. You're talking nonsense here, aren't you, DJ?
No, complete
nonsense.
I just think with a horse, when you're saying they're like a specific core specialist, like he was brilliant when he beat Desert Crown. I thought earlier on in the season, the Brigadier Gerard. I thought he was absolutely superb when he absolutely hammered Pile Driver in the Coronation Cup at Epsom last year. So I just don't see how you think the Hookham is a specifically Ascot horse, but you've explained yourself quite well, I have to say.
Last
6 year old to win was, God, sure, Alpinista was only five. I wouldn't
know. Enable went close at six, but she didn't win, did she? But yeah, I mean, it's not an easy race to win at that stage of your career, is it? Albeit Hookham is quite likely race for a 6 year old, isn't he?
Absolutely. The last 6 year old to win the Arc was, oh my God, we're going back a long time, G Rod. Here we go. I can't find one.
Has there ever been one?
I can't. We're going back to 1920 here, and I haven't found the 6 year old. Okay.
There you go. Could be history.
Has Stats to Defy, does Hookham, could become, we think, the first 6 year old since 1920 at the very least to win the Arc. Before we come to my selection, James Stevens, what do you fancy in the Arc?
I think the underrated horse in the race is Feed the Flame, who, I mean, if you're looking at trends, has a sort of profile you'd want for an Arc. For an Arc winner, three-year-old that's been improving all season. Won the Grand Prix de Paris, beating Adelaide River, which I'm told sister. How strong that form is compared to some of the others is up for debate. But I love the way the horse travelled through the race. Didn't get the easiest run round, but really finished well. And to me, that's what I sort of look for in an Arc horse, just one that travels through the race well and has that bit of burst of speed. Last time out, he was beaten in the trial. Second, still ran well, but was beaten by Fantastic Moon. I'd have to say, I think the horse was probably ridden too sort of patiently and he got going a bit too late. Finished well, but the race was won. So I'd like to see him ridden, not on the sim more prominently, but given his burst a bit earlier. That's a little bit doubtful, but he handles a bit of cutting the ground, which I think might be important. And they're calling it good to soft, but given its long shot, you can always expect it's probably going to be on the more softer side than the good side, and handles the ground well. And, you know, he does get weight from some of those older horses, and that could be key. So, yeah, interesting. Obviously, the question you'll come back with is that he was beaten and put in his place by Ace Impact earlier in the season. I like Ace Impact. Obviously, he's a very, very good horse who handled the ground. I just think that Feed the Flame will be a stronger stayer over a mile four. And I think that he's possibly the one that might improve a little bit more as the late latter stage of the season goes on. But fascinating race. I mean, I've seen better arcs, to be honest with you. It's not one that's completely blown me away. Normally, I'm really, you know, there's not a lot of flat races I get too buzzed for, but the arc's usually one of them. And I think this one's a good one, but I hopefully think it'll be the underrated horse that can win it.
Okay, so there's a lot of shrewdies fancying Feed the Flame. And James Stevens has just added his name to that list. The best price, 10-1 Feed the Flame for James Stevens. And it is Westover, the best price, 7-1 for Graham Rodway. I like Bay Bridge. I think he's the overpriced one for a couple of reasons. I like the way he's coming into the race. If you remember when Enable won this race, what a cracking arc it was against Sea of Class in 2018. She won the September Stakes at Kempton. She only had the one start prior to winning the arc that season. She missed the first part of the season. She came and she won the arc. I like that kind of low-key, best-kept-fresh type of angle. Baybridge obviously bombed out in the Prince of Wales Stakes at Ascot. I thought prior to that it was a really good run behind Luxembourg, who got the run of the race at the Curragh, and obviously won the Champion Stakes last season, beating Adair. Like, he's a pretty solid operator. I think he has five performances between 122 and 125 Racing Post ratings on his CV. When he gets conditioned, conditions in his favour at this time of year. He's got a good draw. He's unexposed over a mile and a half. He's coming in on the back of that one-run confidence booster in the September Stakes, when I thought he was quite impressive. I thought that was a pretty decent Group 3 that day at Kempton, albeit on the all-weather. Love his preparation. Love his draw. I think 14-1 is too big of a price about Baybridge. But he's just one of those, isn't he, Rodders, where you can just see him running well, but just a superstar potentially could beat him. I just have my doubts about the three-year-olds. Are the three-year-olds this season really that good? Are they? I'm not so sure. Ace Impact is favourite. Continuous is second favourite now. Feed the Flame is almost fourth favourite. So three of the top four in the market are three-year-olds, and I'm not convinced by the three-year-olds. I think it will be the older horses. I think it will be Baybridge, Westover and Hookham that will fight out the finish, and I am with Baybridge at the prices.
Yeah, I agree with Baybridge. I could see that running a really big race, DJ. I mean, I've always been a huge fan of this horse since he won so impressively at Sandown last year. And he, of course, is totally unexposed at the trip, isn't he? So he could improve. But, yeah, interesting. No six-year-old has ever won the Arc.
There we go.
So that is true. Apparently, the oldest horse to win the race since its inception was Motrico in 1932. He was seven.
Wow, there we go. No six-year-old has won the Arc. But Graham Rodway fancies Westover, not Hookham, who is the six-year-old. Westover for G-Rod. It's Feed the Flame for James Stevens. And it is Baybridge for me. That is your Arc preview. So, folks, it's a cracking weekend. Oh, my God. So many Group 1s at Longchamp on Sunday. So much good racing all over Europe at the weekend. Rodders, don't reveal your nap, but can I have some selections for Saturday and Sunday, please?
Yeah, I just got a couple at Chester, actually, DJ, where they race on Saturday. The 205 is a staying race. Obviously, I've had my eye on these horses. And Emin absolutely loves Chester, and he loves soft ground. And last time out, he ran in that mad race at Goodwood, you know, where they run up the track and then round the turn and all the way around the track and then back up the way they come on really testing ground. He didn't run too badly, but probably stretched his stamina a little bit. But he's back down in trips lightly here. He previously won over a mile and 6.5 at the track. Soft ground will suit him really well. I think he'll go well, Amin. And the other one's in the 4:20 at Chester, I think, and it's called Legal Reform. Yeah, who makes its debut for Alice Haynes, previously with Ivan Vitardo. It's not run very often recently. He came off a break last time, went off like a bat out of hell at the track, and did remarkably well, like a bat like meatloaf. And he did remarkably well at staying in touch with them. He's only beaten a few lengths. He'd won three in a row before that. Coming off a break, I think Alice Haynes might have him right. He goes on soft ground. He'll be going from the front around Chester, trying to whiz round those sharp bends there, DJ. Legal Reform 4:20 at Chester is my other one.
Beautiful. James Stevens, some weekend fancies, please.
Yeah, I'm going to have to skip on to Sunday, if that's okay.
That's perfectly fine. Yeah. Fire away.
Right, well, we're back in France for a day of huge Group 1 action, which is quite extraordinary. But the one race which always, I think, is quite an interesting Group 1 is the Abbey. Not least because it's probably the worst Group 1 to watch because of the camera angles, but also because it does throw up the odd result. And it's quite a difficult sprint to judge of all the sprints. I always find anyway, which was why I was drawn to White Lavender at 16-1, which looks a huge price to me, given she was only beaten narrowly by the Platinum Queen, a pretty, you know, really smart two-year-old last season. And going through her form this season, she's been in pretty good form. She won at Longchamp in May. On softish ground, and then last time out was second behind Highfield Princess, who of course she has to take on again. But it's a sort of race where if you run well in Abbe, you can continue to run well in future years, and she strikes me as one that really is a bit overpriced. So White Lavender for me. The interesting one, I suppose, I'd be interested to hear your boys' verdict on, is the Blue Rose Sen. I mean, we're looking at
overrated. It's producer Sam, actually Dave is producing today, the legend that is Dave Lowe, but producer Sam, who usually hosts this show far better than I ever do, let me tell you, he's all over this Blue Rose Shen, talking about it all year. Blue Rose Shen, this Blue Rose Shen. Is Blue Rose Shen actually any good, James?
Well, she clearly was, but whether she still is the question mark. And I'm seeing she's sort of 2-1 to win on Sunday, and I just think that's a price really worth taking on. Lumiere Rock was the one for me. For Joseph O'Brien, won really well last time out. Looks like she'll handle a bit of cut in the ground. Looks to be improving as the season went on. You know, it's quite interesting to see her back out quite quickly, having won at Irish Champions weekend. So, yeah, I'm happy to take her on, but producer Sam might not.
Okay, there we go. So we're not sure about Blue Roshan, but it'll be interesting to see how she gets on. Are those your weekend fancies, James?
Yeah, they're the main two and then Apt Camp.
There we go. Excellent. Okay, I've just got a few for you. Okay, at Newmarket on Saturday, I know we've previewed for the races. I think Wild Goddess in the 450 has been let in very lightly into a nursery off a mark of 86. I think she's far better than that. I was very impressed with her in her second start. Big eye catcher in her debut. Think she's well handicapped in her first nursery off a mark of 86. And I want to go to Haydock, to the 502 at Haydock, another nursery, would you believe? See the Dream, a filly trained by Ed Bettle, is down in trip from a mile, didn't stay a mile last time. I just hope Shane Gray just lets See the Dream rock and roll this time. She can be very keen, but over seven at Haydock, I don't think they'll catch her. I hope she's popped out in front and will make all. I think she too is well handicapped off a mark of 76. So those are my two for Saturday. See the Dream and Wild Goddess, one at Haydock and one at Newmarket. So those are our weekend fancies. All that's left to do now is reveal our weekend naps. And it's a big one. It's Arc Weekend. We have got to get the naps up, boys. So G-Rod, we'll start with you. The one horse, if listeners and viewers only have one bet this weekend, who should it be?
Yeah, mine runs at Longchamp on Saturday, Sea Silk Road. I think it's the, what is it, DJ? The free.
Here we go.
Is it the 3:33 at Longchamp?
The 3:33. Yeah, the 3:33. The one word I can't say.
That's the one. Sea Silk Road for me.
Sea Silk Road at the 3:33. For Graham Radway. James Stevens, your banker of the weekend is?
Yeah, well, of course, there's loads of Group 1 races, so I'm, of course, going to Market Raisin. For a horse in the last, in the 5:40, called Furzate, looked to be improving all through last season, loves Market Raisin. The trainer has had two winners from his last four runners, Ryan Potter, looks to be banging form. The horse will be fit because it ran on the flat the other day. Just looks like this horse is continuing to go up. This looks a fairly moderate race. And the form of his last race at Market Raisin has been boosted by the winner who's won next time out. Everything about this horse looks fantastic. So, yep, all eyes on the jumping at Market Raisin. Furzate in the 5:40.
Furzate in the 5:40 at Market Raisin on Saturday.
That's
there we go. And to complete the, what do they call it, three now, Rodgers? Is it a Trixie or a patent? To complete the Trixie or the patent, you are going to be horrified, G-Rod. You're going to be absolutely horrified. You might never speak to me again. I am ashamed of myself, but I think the banker of the weekend, if you can get 9-2, take
no,
it.
No, you can't do that. No, what the Cambridgeshire favourite?
It is.
DJ,
Greek Order in the Cambridgeshire, who I think is really well handicapped off American 95. This is a horse who's only getting the hang of things now. He's well handicapped. The race is tailor-made for him. He's the perfect draw in stall 25. The bigger the race, the bigger the certainty. Isn't that what they say? And I am very much a Greek Order fan. It is the 3:40 at Newmarket. It is the Cambridgeshire. I think 9-2 is a big price. And I think Greek Order is going to win the Cambridgeshire. So there you go. That's your Trixie. Those are our weekend naps. And that is it for this week's Racing Postcast. It's Arc Weekend. Sam Hart, of course, will be back next weekend, bringing some decorum to the podcast with his brilliant presenting. He'll be back next week. And if you do enjoy these shows, make sure you rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening to them. Until next time, goodbye and gamble responsibly. And thanks very much to our guests, Graham Radway, James Stevens. I've been David Jennings. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Enjoy the weekend.